Welcome to the Windy Hill Windsock with me, The Solution, and joining me today is Fiona.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good. We've just had a robust discussion about this week's team. So much to get through on the podcast. We have changes. We have the smoking Joe. We have the sitting Joe. I've got a tail from the sauna. I've got a doozy, by the way. And Fiona's forecast has gone bananas. Absolutely bananas. Also, heaps of content happening. So, rabbit versus guinea pig. For those that didn't hear it, go to YouTube. Anyway, lots of content, heaps of feedback, lots to get through. Right, on the changes. Point one, Dylan Scheel. As I think I predicted, he's injured for, I reckon. Like, why are we fucking around with this? Trying to sub him, can we squeeze a quarter out of him? He's clearly not right. The difference between this Dylan Scheel and what we saw in the first half, whatever you think about him and his contract and the way he came to Western and the value he's driven, that initial Dylan Scheel that we saw was his best version. We're now seeing his worst. Why are we bothering?
Yeah, I mean, you'd think this is the last straw, no? Surely. Now.
Yeah.
After one quarter, and it was it said in the article, pulled up sore. But we all know that means his current whatever's plaguing him. And we think it's still the foot, ankle, whatever it was, has just flared up. So surely we pull the pin now. There's seven games to go. That's it.
That's right. Whatever he has, whatever injury, he can't be improved by trying to play, trying to train. Just put him in the paddock, get the surgery, whatever he needs, whatever it is. I'd much rather see D'Ambrosio, your man, Nick Hine. Do you want him as a sub? I'd rather see him. I'd rather see Nick Cox. Why are we bothering?
And it begs the question, like, I know I'm foreseeing down the track, but had they pulled the pin 3 weeks ago and we make finals, maybe he could have been ready for finals, cherry ripe, who knows? But now it's probably too late, you know? So anyway, you can't take back time, but I think if they probably had their time again, they may have said we should have just got him right. But again, yeah, we didn't even know what the bloody injury is. So I'm hoping they just pull the pin and just fuck off this bloody making him sub.
Yeah, I agree.
He's not a sub player. You start him or you send him for... You send him for surgery.
Yeah, he's either fit or he isn't.
Yeah.
If he's fit and he was playing like this, I'd send him to the VFL.
Yeah.
But he's not fit, clearly. And the injury is evidence of that. Now, the other change is Francis is out. I'm only joking. Phillips suspended. It was a pretty good hit too, by the way.
In the last minute, like, big flip.
Why do we do that? Why do we do that in the last second? Sack Merritt, sling tackle, last minute.
I don't know if it's to prove that they're still switched on, you know, because Brad Scott is watching right up until the final minute. So I guess the discipline is good, but also just cool it, guys. Yeah, and they're probably a bit scarred because we've had so many close calls, you know.
Now, the question I've got for you is Phillips, I would argue, has risen to the occasion the last few weeks. Absolutely. And actually given us the best version of himself.
Yep.
I
still think he listened to this pod and all he needed was the positivity. I told you, he just needed a bit of belief in him.
Look, I think you're right. Now, I still don't think the best version of Phillips is as good as Draper because as soon as the ball hits the ground, he's out of play.
Yeah.
But my question for you is, can Brian do a similar thing? And knowing he's the guy, he's the one, even though he's as young as he is, we know Brad Scott believes in him.
Mm-hmm.
Can he, and I don't want to preempt the smoking sitting Joe, but can he rise a level and compete?
I mean, I think if any coach can get it out of him, it's Brad. I'll say that. I think if any coach and any if there's any way to instill belief in him that, you know, the team's got his back and, you know, all he's got to do is play his role and have confidence in himself, I think that'll be Brad, that's for sure. Do I think it's probably going to all come together for him on Saturday night? Possibly. But he's got a big task against Stanley and Blixarves. So he might just get run off his feet, I think, a little bit. But I think he'll contest and I think he'll work his heart off. I just don't know if that confidence will be there straight away. But I think he'll definitely compete and he'll contest. And he's a good mark. His attributes, he's a very good mark. So I expect him to take some good marks around the ground.
Yeah, that's maybe one thing he can upgrade. He can be an upgrade on as compared to Phillips. As I said last week, I think Phillips gets lost a little bit sometimes in the flight of the ball and in the pack.
Yeah.
Maybe he can compete a bit stronger. Not necessarily even mark it, but just compete.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I think they'll really drilling him to, you know, and get him as prepared as they can. But who knows, he's still a young'un. But he has been tearing up the VFL, so hopefully.
True. So the emergencies are Nick Cox, Nick Hines, Alwyn Davey, and Patrick Voss. Now, who do you think, if you had to project, would be the sub?
Well, look, I'm still of the opinion that Ridley's going to be a late out. But given that they haven't even put Baldwin as an emergency, that to me screams that might move Langford down back and bring in Voss. So I don't know. Because
or even Wiedemann played some time down back and actually looked okay.
Yeah, or just do a bit of reshuffling. I don't know how Ridley can get up from bruising in a week. I just, and as we said on the Sunday pod, like, shouldn't we just put him on ice for the more important Bulldogs game? I mean, they're all important. I know, don't yell at me, but yeah, I don't know. I think it's a weird one that Baldwin's not even, or maybe to your point, maybe Baldwin's still injured.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But to
your point of who will be sub, I think Nick Hines should be sub. I believe in him.
Yeah, I said in his last game, I think he played before he was dropped, I thought he was playing. I was criticised for calling Snelling useful last week, but I thought Hind was useful in his last couple of games, which, hey, better than being useless.
This is true. No, I believe in him. I think he wants to be part of the happiness and the joy. So I think, and I just think he's a good sub choice. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I think his energy is a perfect sub choice because if the boys are a bit down or if he's off, if the boys are feeling a bit under, you know, a bit under, you know, without confidence, I think he's the type of person to come in and inject some energy.
Who plays on their monsters down back?
Yeah, I mean, it's all reliant on if Ridley stays in. If Ridley's in, he did a really good job on Cameron, who's back in, of course, this week. Which meant, but then Hawkins towed up Brandon Dirk Thatcher. So, look, I think they'll got a lot out of the game. And the one thing I think of when I think of Geelong and their strengths is their intercepts. So intercepting all over the ground. So up forward, I think of Rowan, I think of Myers, and I think of Brad Close intercepting all the time, especially Rowan. And then down back, I think of Stewart, I think of Guthrie, who's come, you know, in leaps and bounds, the younger Guthrie, always intercepting. So they are, meaning they are always on the ball. They are watching the ball carrier's eyes. They're watching the ball carrier's movements. That's their strength. They read the play beautifully. They are well drilled. So we're going to have to be really, really, we're going to have to be a little bit unpredictable, I feel.
Yeah.
And if that means going less to 2 metre Peter, for example, because they'll team him, then so be it. We're going to have to be a little bit more unpredictable, I feel.
But you know the hard thing? In this sort of narrow ground, you're kind of almost restricted to the corridor more than you are.
Which is why they are so good at it.
Yeah, that's right.
At Sydney Park. That's what they've built their game style on, because they train it at Cadinia Park, and it's flawless, you know. Mm. It works so well. But on the flip side of that, I think where we can get ascendancy and where we have been so good is the midfield and our clearances. So I think even though they've got a very good midfield with good names in there, Dangerfield, I think we can outclass them a little bit in there. And if we can get first use, our hands on it first use, I think we can get some ascendancy that way.
So speaking of midfield,
yeah,
Zach Merritt, 200 games.
Oh, makes me feel sick. As in, that is there. It makes me feel sick that he has to play it there with no Essendon supporters to, you know, to celebrate this, you know, how amazingly he's going.
Oh, yeah, look, and that whole – so I sent out a tweet earlier in the week just as an aside or a little diversion saying
– You know, the natives.
what strikes me is I thought they were on the same, like, school curriculum as the rest of the state. But English is a problem for some of those Geelong people, let alone some of those people that think they're funny.
Oh, yeah.
They have pulled a humour muscle and it's never going to repair because, I thought, you know, Collingwood supporters were special. I thought Carlton supporters were special. I didn't know about Geelong. You know, what's the Shaq meme? I apologise, I wasn't familiar with your game. I was not familiar with these snuffies. But it is a shame that he's playing down there. I just want to say I'm so impressed with his version of Zach Merritt, who have played 200 games and have gone to a new level this year in terms of leadership and his football. A lot of people are giving Brad Scott credit, and rightly so, for probably believing in him, but I think that most of the credit goes to Zach Merritt.
Absolutely. I said it, you know, on the main pod, and I'll just reiterate it, that it takes a self-aware, courageous individual to look your deficiencies in the face and take that criticism from, you know, the people around you as to how you've been leading in the past, and then do something and turn them into strengths. Like, he's turned his ability to relate with different personalities into a strength of his, and he hasn't brought himself down, but he's leading in a way that's relatable to, and it's also a bit contagious. I think his zest to get better is a bit contagious. I can see that with Hobbs. You know, he's got that zest to just improve. And to go to that next level. Caldwell, there's a new ferocity in him. And I think that comes from Zach Merritt. I think that stems from him. And it needed to be done. He needed to, but it doesn't mean that the person will do it. So just because somebody needs to grow and evolve to be a good captain doesn't mean they're going to do it. And
I tell you what, it's such a good point, because I've thought about his leadership in terms of the rest of the team and the club, like his club captain, which carries with it all this weight of responsibility and specific responsibilities like more media and blah, blah, blah. But I hadn't really thought about his leadership with some of his midfield younger peers. But it's a really good point. Like, Hobbs is a great example. Like, what better example than to look at the way Zach Merritt's going about it? And we always know, irrespective of the criticisms that Zach Merritt's had to field, we know he's professional in terms of how he prepares himself. So that's a great example for those guys. But it's a really good point. I hadn't considered it.
Yeah, it's a contagious trait. All he needed was then that relatability with his, you know, he always had that work ethic. He was always a great trainer, always very professional. But that alone is not going to get you places. That can be a very lonely place. to be that driven, like internally, like that. Mm. He needed to. What he's done is he's pulled down his walls, internal walls, a bit, and he's letting his teammates in. He's being a bit more vulnerable with them, which in turn allows them to be vulnerable, comfortable being vulnerable around him. So it's a two-way street, but I think, it's led from the front, and I definitely think that Brad Scott has helped it. I know, rightly so, Merritt should get the applause, but so should Brad Scott, because, you know, you've got to feel comfortable being vulnerable as well. And, you know, Brad starts with Brad Scott. So all hail to both of them. And congrats, Zach, on 200, and I'm just so sad for you that, I mean, somebody did point out that if he didn't get suspended for that Anzac Day game, his 200th would have been last week. Oh, my God. So I think
he'd also be a Brownlow favourite right now, by the way.
Oh, he would. He'd be rising up. He may not end up as a Brownlow medalist, but he'd be up there. Yeah. But all things being well, the footy gods did have their heart in the right place. It should have been last week, and it would have been beautiful. Anyway, it is what it is.
The footy gods thought us out, but the satanic tribunal intervened. All right, Sitting Joe and Smoking Joe, who have you got this week?
I've got the Sitting.
Smoking, huh?
You got the Smoking.
All right, I'm going to give it. All right, I'm going to flip the switch this week. It's going to be Zerk, BZT. I reckon.
Throw him because he was good last week.
Yeah, I had him as a Sitting. I think he's turned the corner in terms of his form. He has the toughest job this week because, like Hawkins, like he just hit his thighs. I reckon Zerk is going to halve the contest this week, and he's going to be our Smoking Joe. There's been talk about him being a target for opposition clubs. I think he'll be up and about. He'll have wind in his sails, and I think he'll do well. So he's my Smoking Joe.
Would be good. We need him. I mean, look, I think the midfield and high forwards didn't help against Geelong when we played them.
Oh, so God.
The ball just came in too quick. It wasn't even Zerk's fault. It was not even their fault. No one could have defended that. It came in too quick. There was not enough pressure around the ball. So, but good. I hope he rises to the occasion, old Zerky. The Sitting Joe.
Who are you going to curse?
I've got a feeling it's going to be Redmond.
Really?
Yeah, because I've got a feeling that they're going to make him accountable for a player, and I don't think he does super well that way. I think he enjoys having a bit of freedom, and I feel like with their intercepting forwards, I feel like he's going to have to be a bit more accountable. I just have a feeling he might have a bit of a sitting day.
Particularly if Ridley doesn't play.
Correct.
Then he will have to be accountable.
Correct.
And then he isn't the same player, I agree.
I'm in the Ridley's not going to get up, and they're just doing a sneaky keep the twin brother under the behind the curtain. We've got to get one up on the brother in selection.
Yep.
So I'm of the opinion, I firmly think that Ridley won't get up. So I think, yeah, Redmond will probably struggle.
All right. Sorry, Redders. And as ever, we hope we're wrong.
Hope I'm so wrong.
All right. Anything else on the game itself?
The game, yeah. Look, I think we can forecast lots of out on the fools. Just prepare yourself and don't get angry at the players because
I reckon Hepp will have about six.
Yeah. I reckon BZT will too. He has a tendency to go very, very skinny. I reckon he'll have a few.
Do you want to hear a wild card to throw at you?
All right.
Saturday is forecast as rain.
No, I don't believe your weather forecasts. You can get stuffed.
Look, this is Fiona's forecast. So we meant to forecast.
You can get stuffed. With your weather, yeah, but solution. This is Fiona's forecast, not solutions weather forecast. You're not Lavinia Nissen, all right? So I'll just check my own forecast here. Oh, yep, it says it's 16 and showers. Okay.
So for the listeners who didn't hear 2 weeks ago, I said it will be completely dry against Port, and a few of the podcast members might have gone home like drowned rats.
Exactly.
I was in the medallion club behind the glass, so I was
fine. Oh, beautiful. Yeah. That's just lovely for you. I love
but
that.
If it is wet, does that help us or hinder us?
I think it helps us. We've been good in the wet. Yeah. Even Big Flip has been good in the wet. I know he won't be there, but that just shows us how we've been good in the wet. So, no, I think that will be fine. I think the Geelong older bodies won't cope well.
All right. Well, so do your rain dance is what... Yeah. Fiona's calling for.
Yep.
Well, before we get to the predictions,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to do a tale from the sauna.
Oh, you want to do that first? No, the predictions first.
Oh, really? I'm trying to keep people hanging on.
Oh, okay, go. Yep.
Make them listen before we...
Because
our predictions, like, I've got it right most weeks until last week. You got it right.
Oh, yeah, you said we'd lose against Adelaide. I was supremely confident. Yep.
I think basically if you put $10 on every single one of our both of our predictions, you would be ahead.
Well, definitely one of us each has been right on the alternate week. So, yeah. I was close with the amount too. I said 22 points and I think it was 18. So.
Yeah. And there were multiple weeks where we both got it right. And within the points... quite close to the points as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, tale from the sauna. So, I think I've told you what I like about the sauna is the banter. The banter between the old guys in particular is just gold. It is absolute gold. And, you know, lots of older Europeans. So, this week, and this could almost roll into Fiona's couch, actually. Because it's a question. There was a huge debate. It got quite heated. It got quite angry. It was between a Turkish guy and a Greek guy. Now, can you guess what they might have been arguing about?
Food.
You're a legend. So it wasn't to do with whether it's Constantinople and Istanbul. Or any of the Ottoman Empire's persecution of Greece. The debate was souvlaki versus Turkish kebab.
Oh, I'm here for
and
this.
It got heated. It got angry. There were external people. I tried to chip in. So I'll give you my point of view. No, there was no winner. There was no winner. Yeah, there was no compromise. Okay. My argument was they're both great. I just find the Turkish kebab a bit heavier in the Turkish bread. And, you know, I'm more likely to want souvlaki outdoors, like maybe outside or at lunch. Whereas if it's winter, I'm really hungry, I've been drinking a bit, I'm going to want the kebab. It's got more meat. Yeah, that was my opinion. Do you have an opinion? Hoover or Turkish kebab?
I'm here for both, to be quite honest. I could go either. It kind of depends where you go, because some of the Turkish kebabs I've had have come in at quite a thinner pita, so they're not super heavy. I think if pressed, if you're making me answer right now, I would steer towards a souv. Yep. I have to go with the Greco on this.
Yeah. Have you had Hannah's kebabs in Coburg?
No. Good.
It's the best kebab in Melbourne.
Really?
It's a truck.
Oh, yep.
There's also an Iraqi one. I can't remember the name of it, near Pentridge.
Mm-hmm.
But there's various nuances within the kebab world. I don't know there's as many nuances within the souvlaki, but souvlaki, okay. I'm interested. That's interesting.
Oh, okay. What's the other one that that you can get? Isn't there another variety that you can get? Or am I dreaming?
Well, there's multiple different ones.
Okay.
Yeah. There's various, like there's sort of traditional Turkish one, and then there's Lebanese, and there's,
Yeah, the Lebanese, yeah.
yeah.
It's the Lebanese that use the Lebanese bread, and that's a bit thinner than the Turkish bread.
Yeah,
So
it's often a wrap.
yes,
It's
yeah,
like a
it's like a
turkey.
wrap.
Yeah, that's right. That's
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
that's what I was thinking. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
All
so there was a bit of a, I knew it was going to be about food.
right. Yeah, it was funny. It was really funny. All
Really?
right. Yeah. All right. Well, there's a little diversion there. What is your prediction?
Oh, look, I was very not very confident at all last week, and I said 40 points, but I'm going to give him a little bit more credit, and I'm going to say it's going to be a loss, but maybe 29 points.
29 points.
Yeah.
I
Is there any part of you that thinks we could steal a win? Any part of you?
I'm actually tempted to pick us right now. Like, I do think this is the year where Brad Scott changes the perception about the Essendon Football Club.
He's already done it. It's already happened.
That's right. That's right. And a component of that is kind of breaking walls that have existed previously and changing things that we thought could never be changed. And there's not quite, if I think to the last, even that sort of 2013 team, which should have played finals, or 12, 13, was 13, wasn't it? Should have played finals, Joe Watson, et al. I don't think would have won down in Geelong. We hang around. To your point, we've got a good midfield. It's a deep midfield, particularly with Archie and Caldwell and all this depth that we've had going through. How are we going to lose by 20 points?
Wow.
You've got to go Geelong. You've got to go Geelong. And they're a better team now than they were a month ago, I think. Is that fair?
Absolutely, they are. Yeah. They're a better team. GWS beat them there at Cadinia, and
Yep.
but they're a better team. They were a shell of the grand final team, the grand finalists in that game.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, it'll take a lot. It'll take a lot to get across the line, and I think they're going to be too good. Not because of anything, but just too much class. They're a grand final. I think three quarters, if not more, of actually no, it'd be more, just under full. Their full team is played in the grand final, so.
Yeah, it's a good point. And we, to me, I just look at the defence, and with the cloud on Ridley, not that he's a big guy, but Cameron coming in, Ridley probably coming out. I can just see the monsteriness, and I can see them doing what they did at the MCG, which is scooting out to an early lead,
Can you?
and
Oh, that'll be debilitating. If they
yeah.
do, that will be crushing. And it'll be debilitating for the players, because even though they'll try and stay confident, you can't help but feel a certain dejection from getting, 6 goals kicked on you, more, 10 goals kicked on you, however many they kicked.
Yeah, they're human beings, aren't they? At the end of
Exactly.
the day. And a very young team. So on that basis then, anything else is less than a than sort of a 20, 30, 40 point victory is a bonus, is it not?
I have to agree. I think it's we just end up working on not losing too much percentage.
Well, as Jess said, like if you had said 2 weeks ago, we win last week, Adelaide lose against Geelong, you'll take it.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
Who we got after that?
Dogs in the only Friday night game what we got. That's a gettable. That is an easily gettable game. They are flimsy at best. The Dogs. flimsy. Yeah. And Brad Scott is ticking off the streaks one by one, and we have not beaten the Bulldogs since their grand final year, or just before that, I believe. Longer. Not quite as long as Richmond, you know, the streak, but it's been a while. So I'm backing Brad Scott to get us over the line for that game.
All right. Well, hopefully we come out relatively unscathed.
Yeah.
All right. Well, people who don't like Fiona's forecast.
Couch.
Sorry, Fiona's couch. It's time to say goodbye.
Time to log off.
So we bid you adieu.
adieu.
We have so many banked up. There's literally, as I said last week, we could have hours worth. And then for some unknown, godforsaken reason, you put out the question during the week. What should it have for? We're already behind.
I know. I just thought if anybody wanted a fresh voice, and they came through. There were some very, very, very lovely messages. So if you are listening and you sent one of the very, very lovely ones, I see you and thank you. And I'm sure I feel the same way about you too. But there were also some asking for help, weren't there, that I sent you through. So I've sent solution the dozen or so that came through, and yep. I've just let him put them with the rest. And I don't know which of them he's going to come at me with. So,
all right. So, and I've also got a back. I've got a back the backlog too. So I might pull one from the backlog.
Yeah.
And a couple from the list, and then we'll make a small dent in the pile.
Okay.
All right. So you're ready for question number one?
Yep.
Question number one. Now, I don't know, again, who this is from, male or female, but I'll assume, well, anyway, I won't assume anything. I seem to keep falling for the wrong guy. What are your biggest red flags? And can you give me some pointers so that I don't keep making the same mistakes?
I mean, this is a common question.
Most guys are really nice.
Where's the camera? I'm being punked. No, look, at my stage in life now, it's very the red flags are very different now than they were for me when I was in my youth. But I will say that if I could tell my younger self when she was first dating the red flags, then they would be along these lines. But I guess for me now, the biggest red flag for a guy is a guy who hasn't done much work on himself developmentally, a guy who's very not self-aware. Guys are emotionally more immature than women. So if I meet a guy who's 30, I assume his emotional maturity is about 27, 26. So
women definitely mature quicker than men.
Yeah.
But doesn't that happen earlier? Like when they're 16, 17, they're really children. But once you're 25, you should have shit together, surely.
Yeah, you'd think, but no. So the guy has to have done a little bit of work on himself. Red flag. When I was dappling in online dating, and if you're asking about online red flags, some of the online red flags that you would think, Fiona, what are you talking about? They're subtle. So if a guy puts on his profile that he's just looking for someone who doesn't take themselves, and I quote, too seriously, that's a guy that's after a woman, a yes woman. This is what I mean about the subtle.
I would never have known.
This is why you come to Fiona's couch. That's a guy who wants a woman who's not going to bust his balls. That's a guy who wants a woman who's not going to call him out on his bullshit. And that's a guy who just wants you to stay in a little box and be a nice little Insta girlfriend. So if you see that, a guy that doesn't want a woman who doesn't take themselves too seriously, that's what I'm translating, that's what that means for you. So swipe left or right or whatever the way you swipe for is these days. So swipe right, left.
So men out there, if you really do want a woman like that, just take that bit off your profile.
Yeah, exactly. But this is the thing, guys won't know. They'll think, no, that's not what I mean. But that's what I mean about being self-aware and emotionally aware. A guy who's done work on himself and has grown knows that that's what he would have done in his youth, right?
Can I ask you a question? What if you generally just want somebody who has a good sense of humour?
A good sense of humour. You don't write someone who doesn't take themselves too seriously, because life is serious and sometimes you've got to take shit seriously.
Okay. Good point.
A good sense of humour is completely different, but that's understandable. Everyone wants someone with a good sense of humour, so that is acceptable. What else is a red flag on dating apps? If you've been talking, a guy who isn't upfront about what he wants, a guy who won't call you, always make sure you get a phone call before you meet someone on a date. Always. This is my
question. Oh, well, okay.
Always. So you exchange numbers and you're not there for a pen pal. Don't just text for weeks and weeks and weeks and you become emotionally invested. Always, always, always encourage the guy to say, oh, yeah, just give me a call. We can organize a catch up. Encourage him to call you, because you could get a vibe from a phone call and you might get an ick from the phone call, and you're saving time and energy by not going on the date. So always get a phone call before a date. I always, always, always have and always will, always. And if a guy refuses to call you, there's your red flag. I think that's enough for now, yeah, on that.
Yeah, that's tremendous advice.
I've got so many more, but they would be my main ones for you.
I would never. I mean, I've never online dated.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm old, so I went. I dated back in the day when you'd have to go up to a girl like at a bar and ask her, "Would you all have you a drink?" and maybe get told to fuck off.
And you had to get a phone number, a landline, and then you had to speak to the parent and say, can I speak to
you? Oh, yeah. You had to call in your phone from the lounge room.
Yeah.
My sisters could hear.
Yeah.
And try and call and then get through and say, oh, can I please speak to Sula? Yeah. What do you want? No. Yeah. Very different. Very different.
How times have changed.
They have. All right. I've got another one for you. This is slightly different.
Okay.
Dear Fiona, it's hard to admit, but my brother is a cunt.
Okay.
Hang on a second. Let me read. This could be. I've got two sisters.
Did you send this one?
No.
Joe, if you're listening.
No, this is definitely not me, because this doesn't apply to me. I'm reading on. My brother is a cunt. He rarely turns up to family gatherings, barely knows the names of his nieces and nephews, and only contacts us when he wants something.
Joe, did you send this?
No, this is definitely not Joe. But the question is blood thicker than water? Is it okay for me to dislike my brother? Should I tell him, or should I just keep the peace? What do you think? This whole family politics thing is lots of people.
This is an easy one, and I'm going to make it very quick and very simplified for you. Blood means absolutely fuck all.
Really?
Listen to these words that are coming out of my mouth. I am channeling my inner Rush Hour, Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan. Listen to those words coming out of my mouth. Blood means fuck all. Okay, you cannot choose your blood, and just like you cannot choose your blood, you absolutely can choose to walk the F away and to disown. And blood, there is no rule in the Bible, in the Constitution, in any big fucking black book that says you must accept disrespect, you must respect, you must tolerate abuse of any kind. And there is no rule. You walk away. If any situation with anybody, blood or not, is impinging on your peace, then you walk away. There is no rule. You don't have to tolerate anything from anyone. I don't care if it's your mum, your brother, your own kid, for that matter. If it is impinging on your ability to find peace within yourself, the cost is not worth it.
That's good. That's great advice. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
So the one thing to walk away, not tolerate it, but giving the person practical advice.
Yeah.
Should he or she, like, call out their brother? Like, say, hey, this is – because I'm a believer you should – you know, you should try and address things first and give people opportunities to improve.
Mm-hmm.
So should he say, hey, this is how I feel about how you're behaving.
Mm.
Do you want to have a think about it?
Look, it's a good question because it can go two ways. You can be gaslit in response. So you have to – it's going to depend on the person. If you – have you tried this in the past? Have you called them out on their shit before and have they gaslit you? Have they got defensive or have they shown an ability to say – oh, I'm sorry you've been feeling like that. Do they have the ability to own their actions? So only you are going to know how you've felt in the past when you've had these conversations with them. So in my case, I know there's a situation in my life that there's no point me having those conversations with the person because I know I'm going to be gaslit and all they're going to do is get defensive. So I'm going to get nowhere. So I just won't do it. But there are other situations in my life where I know the person has the ability to take on the criticism and take on the feedback. And so the conversation is, you know, it's worth having. So you've just got to work out. If you're going to come out of it feeling worse about yourself, then you've probably been gaslit and it's not worth having the conversation. And you just slowly just disconnect yourself, slowly just put some distance in between you and your brother.
Well, I reckon all things being equal, try and address it because then if it doesn't do anything or you are gaslit or it has no impact, at least you know in your own self and your own conscience that you've done everything you can.
Not at the expense of, like, if you already know that in the past you've come out second best, you're not entitled to make peace with anybody who's made you feel like that.
Yeah,
Again, it comes down to if you've tried it before and if you've come off second best. But, there is merit in saying, you know, in a part of you not feeling guilty for not having tried, but that's also just your defences and your fears coming to the forefront. You are the main character here. It's not worth – if you're going to come out feeling abused or, you know, as I said before, gaslit, which is the main common occurrence, then it's just not worth it. And just politely – put a bit of distance between yourself.
Very good. Very good. All right. Time for one more. I could go the football route or I could go –
let me guess which way you're going to go.
I could go slightly blue. I think I'm going to go blue.
Well, look, I think the non-fans have hopefully switched off, haven't they?
Correct. If you're here now, you're here for the long haul. So, again, don't know the gender.
I'm a bit scared.
Don't know the circumstance. Are you ready?
No.
I rub one out most nights before bed. Is that too much?
Wow.
Does the term rub out? No, that could be – that's gender neutral. That can be gender neutral.
Can it?
I mean, women can use the term wank. So
no, I wouldn't. Not for a woman, no.
Yeah, I've heard. Yeah.
Have you?
Might be the circles.
Yeah, I'm a bit concerned about your circle. But I think rub it out is probably one of the more eloquent ways I've heard it put.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Kudos to that person for keeping it classy.
Playing your own trombone.
Look, in short, no, that's not too much at all. Definitely not. Look, life is hard. We're tired. So long as you're not hurting anyone and you're not addicted to porn, then, yeah, go for it. I mean, as I said, life is hard. So, like, yeah, so long as you don't have an unhealthy addiction to mainstream pornography and you don't believe that that's what women want and that's how they should be treated, then I'm all for it. Be happy. Go for it.
Well, I think medically, at least for middle-aged men, the prostate, it's good. It's actually good.
Oh, is it now? It's also good. I don't want to get too technical, but it's also good for women's equipment as well.
Yes. Yeah, I've got no doubt. I do. I can say I do know of.
Well, do I want to hear what
you're saying? No. Trust me. It's okay. I do know of men who have openly admitted that online is a problem.
As in pornography?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's why I said so long as it's not. If that's what you're alluding, if that's what that person is alluding to, then you need to look within and address that problem, because that's unhealthy. That's a very unhealthy addiction, and that could be very problematic for your relationships.
Like any addiction.
Yes, exactly. Yep. But and because it's so easy to access now. Can you? I often rewatch Friends. You know, I've got Friends. You know, the show, and it's so funny because they're talking about like Playboy magazines, and that's their access to pornography, and it's just mind boggling. It's mind.
When I was 15, you had a magazine that you'd smuggle in your school bag.
Yep.
And then hide in the bushes somewhere. You could guarantee you could go into a hedge in suburban Melbourne and probably find somewhere a magazine.
Wow.
His kids were hiding them. Yeah, and to go from that to just clicking a button. And it's not just like basic stuff either.
No.
You go straight from to level 197.
Yeah, and the concerning thing is the young, what concerns me is the very, very young boys. And I say boys because they're boys. They're very young boys who are having access to this and in turn believing and internalizing that's okay to treat women like that. That's the concerning part.
Yep, and I've also heard that also an issue with girls who think that certain behaviors normalized.
Absolutely, exactly. Yeah. Exactly right.
And that's the expectation on them to.
That's exactly right. So it's concerning on so many fucking levels.
Oh my God.
If that's a friggin' that should be an advertisement for birth, like not having kids.
And also having other hobbies like following the Essendon Football Club.
Yes, exactly.
Some wholesome activities.
Exactly.
For your kids and teenagers.
Exactly. Well, has it been wholesome up until this year?
Well,
I would argue more distressing.
Well, I was going to say, what the message that I think for parents is take your kids along to see Essendon this week. Oh, no, you can't, sorry, because it's in fucking Geelong.
Can only get two of you in, but, you know.
Yeah. But, no, that's good. So there you go, mate. He or she, once a night's fine.
Yeah. I dare say that's the norm, but, yeah, moving on.
Yeah, well, yeah, we've got so many of those questions, so I think we're going to have to at least do a few each week. But, look, thanks to everyone that listened. Fiona's forecast's going off, by the way, so getting a lot of listens. So thanks to everyone that continues to listen. Something about cake. Check out the sponsor. Get online. Have a look at the catalogue. I can see some – Are they cake boxes in the background that I can see?
Oh, yeah. Shoulder? Foam tiers. Yep.
Okay.
Ready to be honest and set up for weddings.
There you go. So if you're getting married, we won't make the same joke about the certain cakes.
I'll just give a shout out. I have had a few very lovely emails recently. I have not replied yet, but I will get back to you. But just a couple ordering cakes, a couple just saying howdy, and just relating to some content that we've had. So hello, and I'm not, I see you, I see your emails, and I definitely will be getting back to you, but I just want to, I want to reply when I'm not in a rush. So, but I appreciate all the wonderful, and it has been all positive feedback. I haven't told you this solution, but it's been all positive and very lovely emails. So thank you.
No, that's tremendous. But do you want to let them down here on the podcast that you aren't make rabbit cakes?
Oh, yeah.
And there's not going to be any guinea pig flesh.
I'm not going to be digging up Ruby from the backyard. Yeah, there's going to be none of that.
All right, all right. Well, that's tremendous. So check out Something About Cake. Podcast will be on Monday as per. Hopefully the Bombers have a great win. And, yeah, we'll see you next week.
Bye.